4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Booj mooy. Okay. Are we ready? Hit it. It's 1930 UTC. And that means it's time for everyone's favorite Dubious Goals Committee. Hello. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And boy, oh boy, here we are once again. And I'm just sitting here, and look what's on TV right now. Drag Becomes Him, the documentary about Jinx Monsoon. Jinx Monsoon being a very popular and great drag queen these days. And this documentary has been making the rounds in the last week or two. And I need some tea. I thought my voice was ready. Maybe not. It's still too early for me. I've only been up for slightly more than an hour. Anyway. Yeah, so Jinx Monsoon is on. Look at her go. I like old Jinxie. She's pretty great. But this little documentary spawned an interesting conversation I had, three nights ago? Uh-oh, do you hear what I hear? Kitty poop time. All right, kitty poop noises. We always like those sounds. That means I gotta scoop the kitty poop out of the box soon. Yeah, so anyway, I got into a conversation about, like, the greatest drag queen. Or the greatest drag queen ever. I don't remember how it started. And I do love drag queens. And of course, the first name that came up was RuPaul. And of course, I mean, naturally, RuPaul is very, I mean, it seems like the obvious choice at first. RuPaul is extremely well known. Everybody knows her. She's everywhere. I mean, how many TV shows does he have these days? 3 or 4? He's done a few movies, a lot of great movies, both in and out of drag. He was out of drag for But I'm a Cheerleader, and that was a bizarre movie and a very funny role for him to play, I thought. But as much as we can talk about RuPaul or Jinx Monsoon, we have to remember Divine. Now, if you're not old enough, if you weren't born before about 1970, you might not know who Divine is. So you're going to want to look her up. Divine was the star of many of John Waters' movies, including but not limited to Pink Flamingos, Polyester, Hairspray. Was she in Female Trouble? I don't remember. I can't remember. But we always got to look back to Divine. Divine also recorded some music, a few singles that were produced by Pete Waterman. Yay, Waterman! You know how much I love Pete Waterman. So yeah, you know, to me, the whole greatest drag queen thing comes down to Divine and RuPaul. And the funny thing is, in a way, you can compare them, but in a way, you can't. Divine is no longer with us. I remember when she died. A lot of people were shocked. I know I was sort of shocked slash disappointed because she was just starting to get that mainstream success. That mainstream success that RuPaul has today, Divine was just starting to break through into that when she died. Died of an enlarged heart. He was kind of a big girl, so that was depressing as hell. Anywho. So, yeah, you know, if Divine would have lived a little bit longer, we might have been able to see her achieve the level of fame that RuPaul has today. And I do love RuPaul, don't get me wrong. I have been watching her since, very early. The first time I ever saw RuPaul, I had stayed home from work one day for some reason. I think I was sick. I don't remember. But this was back in the day before I had cable. And I obviously had a TV. I'm trying to remember when this was exactly. Trying to get a date or at least a year on when I remember seeing this happen. But anyway, I had stayed home from work and I was watching TV. And, you know, we only had the three channels. And for some reason, I was watching Donahue. I don't ever remember seeing the Donahue show any other time in my life. But, you know, there was nothing else on. I happened to notice that Donahue was interviewing some wacky club kids in New York or something. And one of the people was RuPaul, a very young RuPaul. And he was introduced and he was in drag and looked amazing, of course, right? Because it's RuPaul. And Donahue asks her, you know, what's your day like? And I will never forget this. You know, he asked, what's a typical day in your life consist of? And RuPaul says, and this is what killed me, he says, well, every day I get up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the first thing I do is shave my entire body. And as soon as I get up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I just said, oh yeah, I want to party with these people. It was so great. And I also loved the name RuPaul. I thought, what a great name. And so I watched this entire episode of Donahue. And, you know, they were just talking to these quote, kids, end quote, about their lives, their nocturnal lives. And I thought it was great. And RuPaul left, quite an impression on me. Because, you know, I didn't hear anything about him until years later. And I think the next time I remember seeing him was in Tu Wong Fu. Well, that's a great movie. And so if I was going to give an award for greatest drag queen imitator or greatest female imitator, it's got to go to Patrick Swayze in Tu Wong Fu. Best hetero drag queen ever. Don't get me wrong, John Leguizamo was a genius, but we've seen him in drag plenty of times doing that character. And he's good, but come on. He's no RuPaul. But, you know, I was thinking, I need to see Tu Wong Fu again. That's such a great movie. And it has so many great lines in it. I think my favorite part of that movie, although there are many, because there were many scenes filmed in Omaha. There's a part towards the beginning where John Leguizamo did not win the drag contest, and he's sitting on the stairs crying. And Swayze and Snipes come by in their characters. And Patrick Swayze looking at Leguizamo on the stairs and goes, "Oh, Noxie, look, there's a little Latin boy, and she's crying. Oh, Noxie, why is that little Latin boy crying? Ask him why he's crying." And then Wesley Snipes, "Little Latin boy, why are you crying?" Oh, that was a good film. I haven't seen that in a long time. I want to see it again. So funny. Oh. Yes, and as I mentioned, you can see a lot of Omaha in that film. There's a part of the movie where they get stuck in Omaha. And they end up at a hotel. And they're lounging by the pool. And that's the old Birdcage pool. No, wait. What was the name of that pool? At the New Tower Inn, a hotel that was just down the street from where I grew up. It's like a 76th and Dodge, or between Cass and Dodge, right in my old neighborhood. And the other funny thing is, I actually drove by while they were filming. There's a scene where there's some women's basketball teams playing, and they actually did that in the parking lot behind the hotel. That hotel had been closed for a little while, and before they tore it down, they filmed this movie. And what's there now? Now it's that strip mall. There's a strip mall there with nothing that you need to go to ever. But anyway, yeah, I was driving by when they were filming those basketball scenes. I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I learned some time later that, yes, they filmed a movie here. So if you watch Tu Wong Fu, you can see some shots of Omaha's main drag, Dodge Street, from about 90th to 72nd at night. So that's fun. That is a good movie. I want to see that. I want to see that again. I haven't seen that in forever. And I highly recommend it. If you enjoy drag queens as much as I do, watch the movie Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Oh. If you like drag queens and your tastes get a little weirder, I do recommend any John Waters film. I think I was telling Snowdusk to watch Pink Flamingos. Snowdusk hasn't seen Pink Flamingos. So I do recommend that everybody see Pink Flamingos. It will shock you. It will horrify and disgust you. And then, of course, if you can't take that, watch the original Hairspray. Not the musical version, not the movie that was the musical that was on Broadway. There are two versions of Hairspray. There's the original movie with Divine and Ricky Lake. And then there's the new one with John Travolta in drag, which didn't work for me. And that other chick, I don't remember the name of that girl who played the new Tracy Turnblad. If somebody said it, I would recognize it, but it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You know, I have mixed feelings about Hairspray the musical. I was a huge fan of the original work. Then I heard it was on Broadway as a musical, and I went, "What?" But then I thought, that's blasphemy, because you cannot do the show without Divine. But then I realized, well, on the other hand, at least John Waters is probably finally making some money. You know, John Waters made a lot of movies, and they were all on shoestring budgets, and, you know, they were all underground and independent films. He wasn't making any money. But when I heard there was going to be a musical on Broadway, I wanted it to do well so he could make some cash. And of course, it did do well. And then they made it into a movie, and the movie did rather well. And now, you know, Hairspray's being performed as high school musicals. And so I'm so glad that John Waters is finally making some serious cash. He deserves it. I'm so happy for the man. And I would like to hang out with that guy. I mean, there's a short list of people that I want to hang out with before they die. And John Waters is on that list. My God, that guy. If you don't know who John Waters is, you need to start watching his movies in chronological order today. Make that your mission. And then you'll start to understand why this guy is a cultural icon, a cultural treasure of America. I wish we had that thing in Japan. You know, in Japan they have national living treasures. You know, these people that are designated national living treasures for their ability to keep traditions alive and do traditional things and be masters of a craft that is thousands of years old, that kind of stuff. If there was such a, you know, thing in America, we'd have to give a National Living Treasure Award to John Waters. You heard it here first, kids. No, let's see. Other notable hetero drag queens include, but are not limited to, Peter Sellers. How great was Peter Sellers as the Grand Duchess in The Mouse That Roared? I mean, he was killer. He was killer. And I would also then mention, because it came first, it makes me wonder if Peter Sellers was inspired by, and now I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who plays the headmistress for the St. Trinians films. Oh, the first two films were played by the same guy, the headmistress, and I can't remember his name, and he plays a dual role in the film. You know, let's just take the Bells of St. Trinians as an example. That actor, whose name I suddenly forget, played a dual role. He played the headmistress in drag, and then he played another character not in drag. And that is very similar to The Mouse That Roared, filmed a number of years later, Peter Sellers playing the Grand Duchess, and also playing, you know, the Grand Duchess in drag, and he also plays, what's his character's name, Archie or something? And he plays it not in drag. That's another great movie that I haven't seen in over a year, and I'm kind of dying to see it again. I haven't seen that in a... It's so funny. The Mouse That Roared. Probably the most undersung Peter Sellers movie. I think it's hilarious. It's funny as hell. It just makes me scream with laughter. The whole premise is a hoot. I'm trying to... For some reason, I can't think of the name of the country now. Grand something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You need a movie to watch... And you don't need anything super crazy like John Waters. If you just want to watch sort of a normal comedy movie, watch The Mouse That Roared with Peter Sellers. That is a great one. In fact, I might even go so far as to say that is my favorite Peter Sellers movie. Yes, I'm sitting here drinking iced tea again. Because it's super hot outside. And if you're wondering, yes, I did get my car back from the shop. They said it's the same thing, it's the same code, the same problem. So what we did was we switched the spark plugs between cylinders 1 and 2, drive it around, and see if it still happens. And if the codes trip again, we'll get a slightly different code, we'll know what's up. So we're still in the middle of doing crazy diagnostics with my car, which seems to be missing on one cylinder. That seems to be the problem, but we can't seem to figure out why it's missing. Coils have been replaced. Plugs have been replaced. Plug wires have been replaced. What else? There's been a couple of other things that have been replaced, but this problem is still happening, so... My wacky car. My wacky, wacky car. Oh. All right, looks like Jinx Monsoon is over. Good job, Jinxie. And so now we need to double check, make sure we're not missing any football today. Oh. Speaking of which, oh my god, The Social Network's on, but it's too late to see the sandwich scene. And I know you're sick and tired of hearing about the sandwich to begin with, but so we're not even going to go there. But yeah, people have been emailing me, who do you like in the cup? Because, you know, bets are being made, office pools are forming. So everybody I know turns to me to ask me who I like in the cup. Well, I said, if you want a winner, I'm not going to be able to call that yet. It's just too weird. But of course, you know, I can write at least a couple paragraphs about Belgium. Well, Belgium is just an all-star team. Plus, they got Roberto Martinez as their manager. This is a recipe to crush the planet. Oh. But, you know, Spain looks good. England is sort of... England and Germany are kind of these weird... Are these guys going to fly? They might be able to fly. We could go anywhere. And if your office pool or whatever also includes prop bets, I made a strange prediction a little bit earlier when I said, watch for the first red card to be produced for Croatia. I have my reasons for making this prediction, but if you need a prop bet, take Croatia for the first red card. People are thinking, hey, that's rude. That's very negative thinking. Well, yeah, but maybe. Still, it's going to happen. Somebody's eventually going to get a red card. And if you're going to bet, if you're going to wager, I've got nothing against Croatia. Some of my favorite players are Croatian. Luka Modric, Mandzukic, all those guys. And how good will Croatia be this year? They kind of had a little bit of difficulty qualifying, but the weird part of Croatia is they always have some difficulty qualifying, and then they do kind of all right. Will this be a year in which Croatia gets out of group play? Maybe. I think they could. I think they actually could. So we'll see, though. Well, I'm trying to think of what happened last time. Did they get out of group last? No, I don't think they did. So anyway, that'll be interesting. I do love football. Football, football, football. Football is fun for you and me. La, la, la. Everybody loves the World Cup. I know I do. So what else is going on? Oh. Last night something weird happened. Last night I watched a couple of movies, and I can't even remember what I watched. Oh, I watched this thing produced by Natalie Portman, which was really good, and what was the other thing that I watched? Oh, a documentary about the lead singer of the band Lamb of God. And what was wild was, when I was watching that documentary, music being played in the background, I actually heard the song Freaking Out by Death. Remember? 2 days or a day before, I watched the documentary about the band Death. And the next thing you know, the next day, I'm watching a completely different documentary, and they're using Death's music. And if that doesn't get weird, the next thing that I watched was this movie Hesher, produced by Natalie Portman, who was also in it. Oh, so cute. And they used the song Teenager in Love by Dion and the Belmonts. And this is now the third movie I've watched in the last week that used that song. It's just getting weird. Just getting this weird continuity, this weird, it's just, I don't know what to tell you. Just bizarre. Oh, yeah. Oh, what else did I watch last night? I watched another documentary about a baseball player named Doc Ellis. And the reason I watched it is I wanted to learn more about Doc Ellis. Because the only thing that I know about Doc Ellis, even though he was alive and did play when I was a young child, I didn't know him, I didn't follow baseball as a kid, but I do know one of the most interesting baseball statistics ever, and it happens to be about Doc Ellis. Back in the early 70s, Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on acid. I'm not kidding. This is the god-awful truth. Doc Ellis took LSD, and he liked to get high. He took LSD and pitched a no-hitter. which seems mind-boggling. I mean, if you don't know anything about the drug, and if all you know about the drug is what you see in TV and movies, then you would say, oh, that's impossible. And a lot of people did say that's impossible. There was lots of reporters who said, oh, that's impossible. I was at that game, and he didn't act like he was on LSD. Well, that's the thing. Everything that people know about how people act on LSD is basically wrong. I mean, if you watch movies and TV and you've never taken LSD, you think that, oh, people on LSD are staring off into space and waving their arms around and going, ooh, and they're seeing cartoon submarines. Yeah, no, that's not how it happens. I myself have taken LSD, and I've taken plenty of it. And I've taken it, you know, on consecutive days and stuff. And it's, let me tell you, I could be on LSD right now. You wouldn't know. I've been on LSD in front of my parents when I was a kid living at home. They never knew. Interacting with them, totally normal. You know, it's like people think, oh, people who smoke pot, they run around and they talk like this. Oh, hey, man, I got the munchies. And that's how you know somebody's on marijuana. No, it doesn't work that way. So there's lots of people, lots of reporters especially, say, no, that's a lie. He could not possibly have done that. But Doc Ellis himself has admitted it, and he is not proud of it. He's not a drug advocate or anything like that. He's ashamed that happened to him. You know, he's like, well, I'm glad I pitched a no-hitter, but, you know, I'm sorry I did it while I was on drugs. Well, dude, I got to tell you something. It's still an impressive feat. Whether you're on drugs or not. But just because I've always known that Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter, and if you're not familiar with baseball, a no-hitter is extremely good. It's kind of rare. It's good. So I watched the documentary, and it was great. It was about his life, his struggle with controlled substances, and then what he did afterwards. He straightened his life out and became a mentor to people. And everything is good. I would love to tell you more, but I'm running out of time. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I gotta find something to eat and do some stuff, so I got to go, kids. See you later. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.